1, 2, 3.
Somebody save me, me from myself. Has been so
all right, guys. Hey guys, welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. And we are back to where we said we'd originally be last week. If you remember, we covered Genesis chapter 5. We began from the very beginning. And we've had a lot going on. So there's so many different things that are going on all the time. And it's unbelievable how fast it is happening and just detailed everything is as it's going along. Anyway, we got done. We were talking about Enoch and how we walk with God for 300 years. And at 365 years, God took him. And Lamech and the timelines that people didn't understand back then, you know, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord had cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so now we're getting into chapter 6, page 11, Genesis 6. And we're seeing these long spans of life, and we talked about that all the way from Adam and on, and everything that's going on. And we're able to tie it in together, as we have seen, with, you know, Lamech alone, you know, saying, hey, you know, if Cain is shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech shall be 70 and sevenfold. And it's very interesting how in Luke, in the New Testament, comes in and all of a sudden you hear, Father, how many, you know, Rabbi, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? No, 70 and seven times. So we're starting to see how everything is tying together. And the Bible is proving itself from artifacts to everything else. And it's wonderful because we have these artifacts today, which just proves the Bible all the way down. The Dead Sea Scrolls, which almost word for word, Isaiah, and is word for word, you know, the book of Isaiah. And it's fantastic, among other things. And other religious groups that are not Christians or anything else that testify to Christ being in this world at that time in the New Testament. So all this is very interesting, but let's get back to our story here, our love story here. And it's absolutely wonderful. And here we go. Chapter 6, King James Version, the ungodly multiply. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, who exactly is God talking about here? Well, we've heard of the Watchers, we've heard of the Nephilim. And it's very interesting. So here we go, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. So we have this, we know God has created everything, but now we're starting to see, again, we could go back to the beginning of Genesis, and we're starting to understand, and we're starting to understand Enoch and his getting involved, making a plea on the behalf of the Nephilim, which came down here, supposed to be the Watchers. And all of a sudden they realized, oh, wow, you know, these women are beautiful and everything else. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now we have a timeline. We have went all the way from 969 years, which was Methuselah, you know, to where God is saying, no, his days will be numbered now to 120 years. And if you remember, they've been having children at 132. They've been having children at 180 years, and they're having children. Well, that's not going to be happening after this point. It's slowly going to change. And God has now put a timestamp on what he wants the age of man to be. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became men, mighty men, which were of old, men of which of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And we are an inherently evil creature of this earth. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And we could look at this and we could say, okay, what do you mean he repented? He regretted it? He repented not because he made man, but because of what we have become, because of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And now all of a sudden, because of this, we weren't ready for that information. That is why God did not want Adam, and now we know her as Eve, but the woman at that time, to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. You know, the tree of life was also there. It never occurred to them to eat of it. And like we know, okay, Satan came along and made a sell to man. Hey, surely you're not going to die. You're going to be awakened to everything. You're going to be like gods. And we saw that. And what did Satan do? Did he kill man from that action? Yes, in a lot of ways, because man was not prepared. It was like an infant. So now, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Here he is, God creates this wonderful, wonderful place for us. Beautiful creatures, everything else, just beautiful. And all of a sudden, now that we have this knowledge from the tree of good and evil, that we're destroying it and we're rebelling. And this is exactly what we know that the angels have done. And this is why that they're punished. And of course, he's also stating something else here. There were giants in the earth whose days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, the sons of God coming unto the daughters. So the Nephilim, or these angels that were supposed to help keep an eye on everything, okay, have fallen prey to the wickedness of man on the earth. And let's see what goes on now that we got this going on. So here we are. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creepy thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. It's people ask, does God make mistakes? No. I think that this is a part in the Bible where they're saying, well, no, look, he's contradicting when you say he doesn't make mistakes. It's not that. He's saddened. He is troubled and grieved. He says, I'm grieved, okay? Because he knows what we're thinking. He knows everything about us. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And of course, on Genesis 6, verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That doesn't mean that he is saying that he made a mistake. I think it is sad that everything that has gone on, this is all we know, that we continually not only fall short, but we broke that bond and severed it. Is it permanent? No, because we're created in his image. But let's move on, because now we're getting in here. So we're at verse 8, page 11, chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was just a man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now, again, the relationship that God had with early man here, coming on even to Noah and everything, was he was right there guiding, leading, talking, communication. It was an open communication. They might not have seen him because we know that nobody has seen God face to face. But, hey, I'm here. And when things bothered them, there's conversations going on, taking place. Okay? So the earth, since Satan has been here, has been corrupted. I think there is not a repentance, but the sorrow part, because so hard, you can't keep Satan, who God created in heaven, because he rebelled along with other angels. And of course, now they're here on the earth. And we know that they're giants, and that they're able to do things other than the regular size man, which we don't know exactly what the size is at this time. But will we? Well, we're going to find out. But we know that no matter what, man is corrupt. He's always tried to hurt each other. He's always trying to do everything else. And that was never the intention. That was never the intention when God put us here on this earth. The intention was, the love story part, is that God loves us. And he wanted us to worship him, the creator, to give him all the glory, to follow him in his ways, to have a peaceful, wonderful place. But of course, Satan came in and did what he did. And of course, Adam did what he did after Eve did what she did, who we only knew as woman at that time. And now we have this problem here on the face of the earth. And of course, it spread like wildfire. Corruption's not hard once that lineage carried through DNA and everything else is down the line. And it is just, God is upset now. He's had enough. He's angry, and rightfully so. And he still loves us because he created us in his image. But again, we are the ones creating the wedge, not Christ God. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. There it is, his way, what the original intentions were. So did God make a mistake? No. We made the error. We made the mistake. We severed that relationship and broke that bond. And while there we have Enoch, who was back, and Methuselah, that still are able to communicate with our Father, the bottom line is that we're the ones that continually are doing this. We're continually putting that wedge in there. So, sorry, like my coffee. Here we go. And God said unto Noah, and this is verse 13, chapter 6, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it, the length of the ark. And why is this important that this is in here? Why is it important? Is it artifactual so that we can find this one day and have proof and proof that God's word is true? We already know God's word is true. It's already proven. It's already jumping back and forth from Genesis over to the New Testament and the New Testament backwards. We can see that because that jumps back and forth. If you go back to verse 24, chapter 4, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Well, we already know in Matthew, Christ had said, who is God and God is him. No, forgive your brother 70 and seven times. Very interesting. And we're seeing the numerology, we're seeing the different signs and everything else that is giving credence and just solidifying that everything is true within the biblical texts, within this love story. It should be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window thou shalt make to the ark. In a cubit thou shalt furnish it above, and the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt and thou shalt come into the ark, and thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. These shall be male and female of fowls. And again, here we are, male and female. This is something that today's world has lost touch of. Two genders, male and female. And this is exactly how God has done this along the way, the entire time, from the very beginning. But it's very important that he is giving the specifications for the ark. He wants you to know what that is and what a cubit is, and you know, why is it this big, this. Well, obviously, setting up rooms for the animals. He created them too. And then that relationship that Adam had, where Adam was naming the animals because God was interested to see what Adam was going to call them. Do you remember that when we were in early Genesis? And now all of a sudden, it's, okay, I'm going to destroy all of life on earth. But there's a do-over. God is making a covenant with Noah. Now, Noah is the flesh, the life that is going to be left. His sons, his wife, their wives, and these animals. One male, one female, two of each. Of the fowls after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, of every creepy thing on the earth after his kind, and two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And thou unto thee of the flood is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. So think about this. Now Noah, and it's not telling us exactly how long it's taken him to build the ark. Okay. We all have these ideas of how long this is taking or whatever else. How long is it? How long is it taking? We know it's within Noah's lifetime, right? But exactly where at this point in time, we don't know where that is. But we know from back then that these lifetimes lasted hundreds of years. I mean, Methuselah was 969 years old, the oldest person in the Bible. I mean, 1,000 years is a long time. We're here 120 at most now, and we know that because God was very specific about that. As he comes back and he said, you know, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So he's put an expiration date on us, and understand that. You don't even see that anymore today. Maybe 100 at you know, most, sometimes 105, maybe 110. I don't even know how old the oldest person on earth is presently. But we know it's not going to get much older because God's put a timeline on that. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Now you can look at this and you can go forward again. We could go to Matthew 11, 28. We can go to Peter 2:5. And, you know, and then we can go 2 Peter 2.9. And we're going to see everything is tying together now. You're starting to see. And if we go and we take a look at all these different verses and everything, it's very interesting. You know, I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Well, when God came down, and of course, if you remember that Simon Peter and everything, he saw Christ transfigured, and he said, let us make a shelter, or you know, this you know, noble place for you and for Elijah and for Moses. And God spoke, clouds all of a sudden, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I see righteous. But you can see all these different things that are going back and forth. And of course, I'm not referring to any of the ones that I just told you, but I'm saying you can start to see how things are turning out from the Old Testament to the New Testament. and take any part of that scripture out of there, and you can start to see, you know, who God has found to be righteous and following his ways, being obedient to him, not being obedient to man-made laws, not being obedient to what we're creating, but to what God is creating, God's laws, God's obedience. And one of the biggest problems was in here in this generation is violence. And it's a lot of what we're happening today, the violence. And along with that, we have rules. There has to be boundaries. If we don't have boundaries, our fathers, understand, when we grew up, gave us boundaries. And if we didn't follow those boundaries and we broke those boundaries, we were punished, reprimanded, chastised, instructed, guided. We needed that. How much more so with God? So you have to understand that. And here we are now. We're chapter 7, verse 2. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, and the male and his female. Of the fowls also by the air by sevens, the male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. And for 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth. Notice the sevens in here. We're seeing that by sevens and by sevens, and we're seeing this. And of course, we're starting to understand 70 and sevenfold. You're starting to see the numerical, the numerology in here that is taking place. And all this is important because it's all going to come out later on. But you're starting to see it and seeing how God is giving us an understanding for different things. For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 47 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made I will destroy from the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters was upon the earth. Okay, there we go. Now here's your timeline. Now you're starting to see it. How long did it take him to build the ark? And we know that God has always looked at Moses and said, I've seen righteousness before me in this generation. He's starting to see it, you know, to where God is. He has chosen Moses or Noah here in this instance, and he has chosen him to undertake this because why? Well, Noah is obedient to the Lord. He follows his laws. He follows his instruction. Therefore, God has made a covenant with Noah, and Noah has been building this ark. How long did it take? Well, we know there's giants in the earth. So, we know that, you know, a lot of people are like, there's no way he could have built this thing. It's huge. But there were giants. How big were the giants? I don't know. I don't know. But we're starting to see artifacts from today giving us a clue of how big they were. And they were big. So, and no one went in. And his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of the beasts that are not clean and of fowls and everything that creepeth on the earth. There went in twos unto Noah into the ark, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And a lot of people say, what does that mean? The fountains of the great deep. We're learning today, and here's something that's very interesting. And what we found is there's what they call a woodlight type rock that is porous, but it actually, they say, and we're just learning about it now, and think about it, this is 2024, that it holds more water below the crust of the earth than on the earth. So these fountains that are opening up, and of course, heaven, he has opened the storehouses. And how do we know that? How do we know God has storehouses with lightning, snow, water, thunder, everything? Job, the book of Job, as we go along on down there, and he says, do you have any idea? Remember when he said, sit down, be quiet. Now I'm going to question you. Because Job wanted so much to plead his case to God of his innocence that he did nothing wrong. And I can't wait till we get back to that, because it's one of my favorite parts. But now we're on verse 12, page 12, chapter 7. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. And they and every beast after his kind and all of the cattle after their kind and every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind and every fowl after his kind and every bird of every sort. And they went unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. And when that ark was sealed, that was God's seal. It's closed. The Lord shut him in. I will let you know when I am done. This is kind of like you could kind of see it foretelling the story, but the Lord had shut them in. And this is the relationship that Noah has with God. He's been given instructions, a blueprint that he's put in Noah's body, your heart and your mind. And how do we know that? Because we know from Paul in the New Testament that after Christ died, that everything has been put inside of us to follow God and to know all the information he wants us to know. It's our job to study now. It's our job to keep learning, to keep living it every day. And this is where now free will is taking charge in the New Testament. And we can see that today. But you understand that this is the Lord communicating with Noah. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and there was increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. Very interesting. Upon the face of the waters. Again, the earth is water. And God gave it form. He moved upon the waters. Remember that? And back in early Genesis, And now here we are again. It's going to be a redo. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all the flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creepeth thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, that was in dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed. why every living substance? Here we go. Now we're starting to see this again. Anything. God created everything. He breathed into man's nostrils and gave him life. So now, every living substance too. Anything that is alive at all in flesh or without flesh, the creep thing, anything. Done. Gone. And every substance, that includes, guess who? The Watchers, the Nephilim, all of them, they're gone too. Understand something. Everything is going to be gone. And every living substance, of course, that's verse 23, chapter 7, which was upon the face of the earth, ground, both man and cattle and creeping thing and everything, were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And you notice God goes back to the cattle all the time too. Which, you know, that beast is mentioned a lot. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters as assuaged the fountains. The wind's blowing. It's moving the water where he wants it to go. He's doing everything. He's handling everything. Remember, he's outside of time, space, and matter. So in it, through it, above it, around it. So he's controlling everything. And the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned off the earth continually. And after an end of 150 days, the waters were abated. The ark rested in the seventh month of the 17th day of the month upon the mountain of Ararat. Now we know exactly where it's at. We know where Mount Ararat is. We know that in today's world. Our discoveries and artifacts and everything else, are they still there? God says it's there. Guess what? It's there. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, where the tops of the mountain were seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. And he sent forth a raven. Now, here's one of these misconceptions that it was the dove at first. No, it was not. People didn't take the time to read, but the raven went out first. And it went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. He also sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him and unto the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him in the ark. Very significant, everything that's going on, a lot of significant things, but you're starting to see how much. And of course, God had shut him in, so Noah knew the time. Everything, he's been given all this information. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. Noah knew that the waters were abated from the earth. Now you're seeing this. Offering somebody an olive branch. Here it is, the ultimate one. For the covenant that he made with Noah. Here's the dove bringing the olive branch. There, the bond is now we're back. Here we go. We're doing okay because man and flesh and all the evilness has now been wiped clean from the earth. It's a new beginning. It's a new start. But we just don't know it yet. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and the 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spoke unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with everything that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creepeth thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savior. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing. God knows that we are going to fail. How do we know? And you can go again to the New Testament and Luke. Is there one that's worthy? No, not one man. Christ is, but Christ is God. God pretty much in the New Testament basically is sacrificing, it's his son, but he's sacrificing himself to make up for the sins, because we already know back here in Genesis, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, from his very beginning. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Why the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and the day and night shall not cease. That's his covenant. He knows that we are short. But again, here is a perfect example, if you're looking deep into this, of God's love for us. This is our fault, definitely our problem, but he loves us so much. I mean, we're his children, and we're messing up, and we should be taken behind the woodshed and spanked a whole bunch of times over and over and over again. But he has this love relationship with us. We're created in his image. That's a bond that can't be separated, a bond that's not going to be broken unless we choose to break it, unless we choose to put a wedge in there. And we do have choice. So God's covenant with Noah. And here we are, chapter 9, page 14. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fleshes. Or all the fishes of the sea. Into your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb I have given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. What does that mean? It means don't eat something alive, number one. And also, don't be eating food with the blood still in it. Understand, that's life. It's important. It's life. Shall ye not eat? Don't eat this, you know? And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast. I will require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. If we messed up and we do that, understand, he will hold us responsible. That is what he's telling you. I'm going to hold you responsible. So if you don't follow this, this is part of this covenant. This is part of the new relationship that he's had with Noah. And if you're not going to follow that, understand something, I'm going to require your life. It's going to cost you dearly. And we know what that is. I will hold you responsible. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. There it is. For in the image of God made he man. Again, there's that bond I was telling you about. That because we are made in his image, understand he loves us. We're his little children. That's the part. He knows that we're corrupt. He knows that we're bad. We're inherently evil from youth. He says so. He knows it already. That's why I'm saying God doesn't make mistakes. He already knows. He knew this before. So when he says, I repented, I made of man. I'm saddened. I'm sorrow from what man is doing. Not that I have made man, but because what man has become. This was not the tree of knowledge of good and evil has created what we are. So understand that. And again, it goes back to the New Testament. You could go back to Matthew 26, 52, and 1 and 27. And you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spoke unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, will establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all the flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, and this is the token of my covenant, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. It's his promise. It is his mark that he has put in the sky for us, the rainbow. But understand, he didn't just make it with man. He made it with every living creature in the ark for them too. This is a shared love on this earth. We have a responsibility to this living earth. We have a responsibility to animals. We have a responsibility to ourselves. We have a responsibility to each other. And God has made this promise with Noah, his sons, and everything. Multiply, be fruitful, multiply. You know the rules. You know everything that's going on. And I'm not going to flood this place again. And to prove I'm not going to flood it again, here is a rainbow. This is my mark for you to understand that I will not forget my covenant part. Now, man, on the other hand, well, I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And again, not man. me and the earth, the entire living, complete, whole earth. The earth is a living, alive planet. And we have to understand that. And I don't think that a lot of people don't see that today. They think, oh yeah, between man and God. No, it's not. It's between the earth. It's between the animals. It's between Noah and his sons. But he's very, very clear. And it's chapter 9. It's verse 13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And if you go to Ezekiel, and you can take a look, and you can even go to the revised one, but Ezekiel 1:28. So understand, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, and that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And that, to me, it's for everything. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. And these are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. Going from forward from there. Be fruitful and multiply. Move onward. We know this. God says this. And he is telling you. And of them was the whole earth overspread. Was it anew? And Noah and began to be a husbandman. And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his nakedness of his father. It told his two brethren without, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father and their faces. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Why is that important? Why is that important? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you go back in early Genesis, Adam and the woman realized they were naked after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, when I'm looking at this, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren. They knew their sin. They knew that they were exposed. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree in the garden of which I commanded you not to eat of? And now here we are going forward in Genesis, and you can start to see. See, the Bible is proving itself all the way through. God is proving himself all the way through. And he's not doing it for... He's doing it for our benefit, to help to get us to believe in him so that we can worship him and glorify him and praise to him. But we're seeing it. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. There's the one who again, has now kind of exposed this knowledge of the tree of good and evil in a different way. But because Ham has done this, he's going to be serving the two others. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Oh boy, we're really moving right along here. Chapter 10. And you know what? We're going to stop there, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we've got about maybe 5 minutes, and then I'm going to get into this, and all of a sudden I'm not going to want to stop. So we're going to stop right here on chapter 10. Today is 9-8, 24, put our mark in there. But you can see that exactly what God said, the imagination of man is evil, continual evil from his youth. And even after the flood, after every evil thing, it still didn't wash away what is in man's hearts. And we are inherently evil. And it's just what it is. You know, I had said before that are we having a relationship with Christ God on his term or on our terms? And we want to have it on his terms, not ours. The problem is we're human beings. So as well as we think that we can do, it's impossible to have it on God's terms. Hence, exactly why Christ came. Because we're not capable of doing it. It is impossible for us. But what is impossible for us is possible because of God sending his son. So as I'm having this relationship, I've got my right hand out and I'm holding Christ's hand. Hopefully, I believe that in my heart, and Christ is holding God's hand. There's that bridge. There's that bond, because we're not able to have that bond. And the reason that we're not able to have that bond is because from our youth, we are inherently evil. And we need Christ to have that and be there to bridge that gap for us so that we can have that relationship with God, the Father. We have a long ways to go, but we're really getting, we're seeing the relationship. This love story is really unfolding, and we've seen sibling rivalry. We've seen things going on. We've seen so much going on in the background, so much going on, being able to apply it from the Old Testament to the New Testament and numerology. Everything that's happening, we've went from, you know, the stars to now we have a rainbow in the cloud, which again is another living, a factual testament that God exists and is here with us still to this day. thank God is all I can say. So all we have to do is we're going to keep reading. We're going to keep going through this wonderful love story. And as always, I tell everybody, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a priest. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not clergy. I'm nobody. I'm just a man that loves to read the Bible. I'm in love with it. It's just, this book is just, wow. It just it grabs a hold of you and it's not going to let go, but it's up to you to make sure that you're doing the studying, that you're doing and putting in the time and asking God for the understanding and the reading. And I don't get it all right. I don't need to. Okay. What's important is that we're glorifying, praising, and bringing out the fact that we're praising Christ God. And we already know Christ, we've already proven since the beginning, we already have proven that Christ was there from the very beginning. So you'll always hear me say Christ God. Abba Father, man, he is the best. So I pray for you all. I hope you all have a wonderful week. Be good to one another. And, you know, it's very interesting. Last night, I was looking at my real quick thing before we have to get off. I was looking at my animals, my dog, my cat. And I thought, boy, when I was alone, my dog was there for me and how important my dog was to me. You know, I've got my girlfriend, I've got my family here and everything. But then he made it a point for me to understand how important my life was for the dog, that I'm his everything, that he is serving me. He's a loving, faithful servant and is serving me and doing everything, and how blessed I should be, the dog, the cat, just everything. So remember that whether you're a servant, and we're supposed to be, and our animals are, and everything else, it's our responsibility to love them and to give them everything that they need too, and each other. So, you know, we have to find a better way, a different way of living in this world and appreciating every aspect that God does for all of us in this entire world, this living planet. And that's exactly what we are, is this giant, big, living planet that, you know, our Father has created for us, and glorify his name. With that, we're out of here. God bless, folks. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to Life Walk with Christ God. And we'll see you next Sunday.